This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Ben. Good morning, Sia.
Hi, Gareth.
Leanne is on her way, so she obviously had one of those late start things that happens from time to time. It occurs.
Can insomniacs oversleep, though?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Bit of a loophole there.
Well, sleep apnea has various... maybe she actually got into some decent sleep after finding out what her problem was, and now we've woken her up, so we've ruined it.
It's amazing how Leanne dies every day.
I know, isn't that scary? Anyway, how was your weekend?
Drunk.
Really? Just drunk. What did you do?
Drunk.
Huh.
I went to go play golf at the Wanderers, and if you do that, you got to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So I play golf with my friend Hobbo. We've been meaning to play for quite some time.
Yes.
He's the guy I make the video about.
That's right.
And I had to have a trumbler, amongst other things.
A who?
A trumbler.
That is a tumbler with what in it?
It's a black label beer, and then there's a shot of dark rum and a shot of tequila.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
And you got to down it. I got home.
The tea's from tequila, then rumbler.
Because a rumbler is beer and rum.
Mm.
And then I got home at like 3 o'clock, passed out solidly to like Hoppers 5. I just went missing in life. Look, there were other tequilas and beers too, but I just went missing from life.
You were just nowhere to be found.
No, like Hopkins was prodding me at one stage, like, are you really there? And
oh,
I came back.
Goodness.
And then after that, then they went out, and then it was the other side of the birthday, because it was Hobbo's birthday weekend.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say.
And what? Then we went to another tequila place. And
wow, look at this.
Met even more drunk people, but drunker people than I was.
God.
Like, so drunk.
Yeah, that sounds like a decent night out.
Very productive, Ben. Good for you, though. I mean, why not?
And then yesterday I went to the cricket, also drunk. So I'm quite keen to be...
You're a bit of a mess today.
Yeah. No, I'm actually not so bad. I woke up nice and early. I woke up earlier than usual, pulled myself towards myself. Yeah, I just... you know, we always say this when you get into, like, your 30s, Sia, seeing as your birthday last week.
I'm still far away from my 30s, thank you.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you're going to get there. And you think, like, it's so cool to drink, and then you think, no, it's not. It's not.
It's really, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
So put yourself in the right setting.
It's switched on, yeah. No, we can't help ourselves. Your weekend, Sia, how was your birthday?
Jeez, well, echoing Ben's sentiments, drunk. Exactly that. You know, I was... complaining a bit leading up to my birthday because I didn't know what to do and people wanted to make plans and I...
You had to change your plans to accommodate other people.
Yeah, well...
As I recall.
I usually celebrate my birthday for me, and I know it sounds weird or egotistical, but for me it's about me feeling good and I'll do whatever I want to do. Because,
completely agree.
I'm going to celebrate the fact that I'm still here for another year. But this year, I decided to do things a little differently, and I thought, okay, fuck, screw it. Did I just swear this early in the morning?
Sure. Yeah.
God, that was a lot.
Most unlike you, all right.
Yeah.
Coarse language right off the bat.
Okay, Monday morning language. And so I've decided to do a couple of things with a few friends. So this weekend was mostly for family. So I had some people over on Saturday evening. We had some dinner at my place. And then I did something I've never done before. I actually went out to this karaoke place in Rosebank. Have you heard of it before?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Saigon Suzy.
Yeah, so it's a restaurant downstairs. And then you get to book a...
like
private
a booth.
Room upstairs. Yeah. Best thing to do ever.
Did you have fun?
Oh my goodness, yes. So you get the best of both worlds. You get to have karaoke with your friends and a night out, but also it's not that social anxiety thing where you're singing in front of people you don't know.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's a nice private booth is amazing.
Right.
So yeah, it was very, very cool.
Did you sing?
Did I sing?
Oh,
did
no.
I sing?
Oh, no.
Everything from Journey, Don't Stop Believing, to Destiny's Child with Bootylicious. It was a whole lot of that. So, yeah, surrounded by some family and a few friends.
Guess.
Was really
let me guess.
Cool.
Like, I know how the interface of that thing works. You went and you always put your songs at the top. Because, like, people put their songs in, and there's, like, a list, and you can just keep bumping your one out.
That's right. You can move the songs up and down.
I bet you did that.
Look, to be honest, I don't know how it works, because I was too out of it at that point. So everyone was just commanding the music from that point. But, you know, we're all slightly similar. So we got into the Beyonce very, very thick.
How many microphones were there?
There were two.
Was there fighting?
Yeah.
But the weird thing is,
surprisingly so.
It starts out, you're singing karaoke, but at the end of it, like, the whole room is just shouting, and then it's like, well, there's no point having a microphone, is there?
And
how it goes.
I got there, and you have to sign a few documents, and I wasn't understanding some of the clauses in this document that you have to sign. So they'll say, you've booked from this time to this time. Tick this box to ensure that you will not be dancing or standing on the furniture. And I'm like, what? That's so weird. Who does that?
And
what
then you
animals do that?
And then you ended up dancing 30
minutes
on the
later,
furniture.
We were on the furniture.
And they have to keep coming in and checking, like, that you're not destroying stuff, right?
What I actually liked is that they gave us our space. So, yeah, we were nice and rudely to a certain extent.
Well, you don't go and disturb a herd of angry buffalo, do you? God, how hilarious. Yeah, but that is fun. I mean, listen, karaoke is always a good... I mean, it's such a big deal in the Far East. It's all people do. They go out and singing karaoke. You know what gives people, like, a focal point? You got to have something that's the center of attention in all of these situations. Mm. Otherwise, everybody just pairs off into... Well, not pairs off necessarily. Breaks up into little conversational groups. And if the music's too loud, that's impossible. And you just drink together, like Ben did.
Yeah, Crumbler.
Crumbler.
Dark rum, it really was just meant for sailors. There's no other good use for dark rum.
Well, it's for sailors and for
scurvy.
Pouring on wound.
And the fact that it goes into a body just shouldn't be a thing.
Not fire a beer.
Don't they make rum out of sugarcane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sailor's tears. It's a difficult balance to get just right.
Okay. Yeah.
So the lighter the rum, the more sailor tears. So if you like Bacardi or Sadist, they just make sailors cry flat out.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's the light rum.
Thank you for educating us, Ben.
Oh, God.
But my weekend was all good and well. Yesterday, I spent the day recovering. I really enjoyed it up until I woke up this morning with my annual tradition of watching the Super Bowl finale just for the halftime.
Oh, folks. Yeah? And what did you think?
Don't do it.
Who was there?
It was Maroon 5.
Okay, yes.
Remember it was Maroon 5. Yeah.
Remember Maroon 5 and Big Boy and Travis Scott as well, because they're trying to bring the black rappers into the thing.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible waste of time. That 13 minutes and 49 seconds I will not get back in life. It was just a mess. And the reason why I don't have sympathy for it is, or for them, is because they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
They knew already that was...
It's like the Oscars. You see what's happened in America? All these massive events that have always been the cherry on top for entertainers. Entertainers themselves have scuppered them by making it political. So suddenly now it's more about Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee than it is about entertaining people. So it's hugely political. If you do it, you must be a Republican.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, you must be a Democrat. And look at the Oscars. You can't crack a joke about anyone because someone in the audience is going to get upset and storm off in a huff like a child. Yeah. So no one wants to take part in these things anymore. So you know what? The revolution is now eating its children, and Hollywood is going to pay the highest price for all of this political correctness.
That is a deep line. Watch. The revolution is now eating its
children.
Gareth, you've been saying it for, I would say, going on 2 years now on this very platform.
Poison chalice to host the Oscars. Listen. And watch, it's going to be the most boring Oscars ever. The ratings will be at the lowest they've ever been. Nobody cares about these movies. I mean, the fact that they even nominated Black Panther for Oscars is just outrageous. You know why? Because they've never given an action movie, let alone a comic book action movie, a nomination before. So it's so transparent that they're doing this because it's a black movie, in inverted commas, that it's going to have no real prestige attached to it. Even if Black Panther wins, like, everyone who saw it knows it's a good movie from the point of view of being fun and action and made up. But it's not a great movie. We're not talking about... It's not comparable to any of the others in its category. It's kind of crazy, right?
It's no Good Will Hunting, no.
No, so they've ruined that too. So now the credibility of the very awards that they talk about all the time are at stake.
Going down the drain.
It's crazy.
Few weeks to go till the Oscars, still no host, and yeah.
They won't have a host. Who's going to touch that?
I think with some of these things, it just needs a year break. Figure it out, come back next year.
I say can it. It's like the State of the Union address that Trump is meant to be giving this week, I think. Can it? Do what George Washington did. Send a letter. That's what they used to do. They didn't have to have this big parade. And we don't need our state of the nation address either, the SONA. No. Just can it. Nobody cares, right? I mean, Leanne, are you waiting with bated breath to see the fashions worn by the parliamentarians?
I'm out of breath after walking up the stairs.
Did you run?
Yes, a little bit.
Don't worry. Don't panic.
Good morning.
Hi.
Did you sleep?
So it was your second guess.
Which was that you actually did have a sleep.
Yes.
Wow. How did that feel?
Oh, my word.
She's beaming. Oh.
I have been sleeping the whole weekend, unlike Ben, who was drunk.
Just drunk.
Just so much of drinking.
Are you revitalized?
Yes.
That's amazing, Leanne. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Did you know what sleep feels like now?
I know so much how sleep feels that I forgot that if you hit snooze enough times, it stops. And that's what happened this morning.
So great, though, that you're sleeping properly.
So happy for you.
Are you wearing the sleeping Jesus thing?
Yes, I brought it with me to show you.
Oh, some show and tell this morning.
Yes. Oh, man.
Do you plug it into all your orifices or just the one?
Yeah, it's not even a plug-in. You just wear a mask and it breathes for you.
Does it pump oxygen into you?
Not oxygen. The room.
Oh, just the normal
air.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But it is filtered.
Show it to me. Okay. Let's see the sleeping Jesus. Here it is, everybody. What an exciting morning. We get to swear. So,
here are the two different masks.
I thought you'd brought a packet of cat food. Yeah, it almost looks like cat food, yeah.
Or like cat sand, litter sand.
Yeah. Wow, you've got these two versions.
So you've got a full face mask.
Ooh.
Who's that? Or you've got the little nasal mask.
Who's the handsome gent who's modeling that in the front there?
I don't know. It looks like one of my exes.
It looks like Gord Laws.
Oh, no, we don't like that.
Wow, look at this.
Okay.
It's a big mask.
Awesome. And then it all fits into this little bag.
Oh, gosh.
And I would say it's the size of...
Jesus, there are cables in there and cords and
well, this is the tube. And the tube's very special because it doesn't allow for...
It looks like you just took it out of a washing machine.
Collection of water in there or, you know, humidity.
And it can't feed back. So, in other words, it's always pushing...
Always pushing one way. Yeah. That's CPAP.
And that is a hell of a... It looks like a pump for a fish pond.
Does this make you feel like a superhero when you go to bed?
I'd say it's about the size of a car battery,
more
or less.
And you plug it in?
Yeah, you plug it in electronically.
What happens if there's a power failure? Can it just shut down?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, if Eskom give you load shedding, you'll be going...
Oh, my word. You are so right.
Oh, no.
So this is where it sucks the air from. There's a little filter.
Ah.
So that's quite nice because I don't...
Plug it in. Let's listen to the noise.
I don't breathe in cat hair anymore, which is nice. Actually, I have to return the machine this morning, and I hadn't. I wanted to check if there was any cat hair on the filter.
All right, is it on?
No, not yet.
Plug it in, Gareth. Relax.
It's a bit of a.
This is quite a process.
Jesus. All right, we'll send pictures of this onto our Instagram or something. It's very interesting.
This is adding at least another 10 minutes to your sleeping routine.
But this little guy has a.
Oh, it says sleep style, now it's switching on.
Yes.
And it's got a little screen in the front. I mean, this is a complicated looking thing.
Well, if I open it up, I'll show you. Inside is a seal.
Yes.
And then a humidifier as well.
Oh, so it doesn't let you breathe in just dry
air. Yeah, so you put water into there and it heats it on like a little kettle heat pad thingy.
And does it make a big noise?
No, I thought it would. My fan is louder.
Yeah, try.
Okay, so it's going to...
Switch it on.
When you switch it on, it doesn't go full steam. It starts off slowly.
Okay. So that's blowing air into... Wow. Okay, that sounds... But that only sounds loud because she's just pushed the vent right up against it.
Yeah.
So that's a steady flow.
It's kind of going on and off. Now, it monitors exactly how much you're breathing and whether you need a lot or not. And then when you press stop, it tells you how many hours you slept for. First night, 9 hours solid.
Leanne!
This is great. Oh. these years of pain and torment, and now 9 hours, finally.
Everyone was like, no, you're going to feel the mask. You're not going to sleep. I was like, what mask?
So it doesn't feel like you're hooked up to ICU because...
No.
I mean, it does look like a lot of pipes and things.
No, and it's absolutely... It's this quiet.
Yeah, I can hardly hear it. Just put the pipe near the microphone
again. We'll
have
to just start it up again.
Wow.
Okay. But it's a thick pipe that it does look like it comes, as Ben says, from the washing machine.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, all right.
So here we are. I'm so happy for you.
Saved my life.
See, so anybody who's going through the same horrible situation where you just couldn't get enough sleep.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Go and do what Leanne did. Have the tests done and improve your life. I mean, now that you get some sleep, everything will get better.
Everything changes. So everything that
did you drink this weekend?
I had a little bit of, not in by my standards, a little bit of wine.
Which so is a three bottle and a half?
It's a box.
Actually, I started buying the boxes. The Papsak. Because I found one of my favorite wines from Woolies is now in a box.
Really?
Yeah.
You thought,
So it tastes pretty good.
Well, you only wrote them 12 letters to get it to that stage, sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, what a coincidence. Oh. This is now in a 5-liter box. Who thought of that?
I wrote them so many. I went to head office twice, but it must have just been their idea.
Yeah, just a nice casual surprise. How pleasant of them to
How
do
thoughtful.
That.
Yeah. I met with the MD 3 times, but that's just coincidental. And we met at the wine shop. Oh, wow. Okay, so we're looking forward to seeing how the overall health improves from here on in.
Yeah, I've heard people like lose weight and all sorts of
great.
Things.
Great. Good. Well, look at you with your big patla there.
Wow.
With everything in it.
I do have a bit of a, like an abrasion on my face.
From wearing the mask?
I obviously had it too tight or something, so it takes a while because it's a whole headgear thing you've got to adjust to.
Right. Look at that machine. That is the Sleeping Jesus version 2.0.
So and it feeds back information to the medical company who makes them.
Oh, yeah?
And every now and then they tell you, you probably need to change your, you know, because this one's a special one. It monitors how much air you need for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some you just get that go on one way and that's the power that they stay at.
Hmm.
Then they'll communicate with you and say you need to turn it up or down. We're looking at your sleep data.
So what did it feel like? After you woke up after 9 solid hours of sleep.
I must tell you, I was actually quite ill the first day. It's almost like you're detoxing from not sleeping.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My body was so sore all over. I had a work meeting on Saturday morning after I'd had this for the first time. I had a meeting at 10 in the morning and my brother was in the meeting too. And he phoned me afterwards and said, are you okay? Because you look ill. And I said, I feel terrible. But it was, you knew it was the mess before the cleanup.
Yeah.
You could feel. But no, I felt nauseous. I felt terrible.
Wow.
And had a nap that afternoon, a 7-hour sleep the next night. Last night's sleep, I don't know how long that was. About 6 hours, I think.
Well, let this be a useful starting point for everybody else as well.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got up at Sparrows on Saturday morning. I first of all, I'm not sleeping late anymore, which either means that I've finally reached old age.
Yeah, you know,
because you know
adult.
Old people. You know, old people can't sleep late. They're always like in an old age home. The busiest time is like 5 in the morning.
They keep going to the toilet. That's why.
So I woke up.
you try sleeping with a full nappy, Gareth.
Oh no!
So I woke up really early on Saturday morning, and I had to go and have my windscreen replaced. So I did that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, there was a crack in it. It was just spreading very fast. Not a very exciting story. And I had to get a quote for my front tires because they're going a bit bald. Yeah, not good. And I got some gym in, and I was very productive on Saturday. I actually felt very proud of myself. I bought rat poison because I reckon they're rats the size of rabbits in my ceiling.
Do you hear
that? They thump around.
Okay, so it's been quiet up there for the best part of 6 years. I had some right in the beginning when I built the house. They'd obviously moved in, but then I poisoned them and they were gone. Then, the other morning, I was getting ready, brushing my teeth, and I thought, what the hell's that? It sounded like a small dog was running around in my ceiling.
Oh, no.
And my dog was barking. So I was like, Jesus, even he can hear it.
And he's not like a...
He's not a watchdog.
No.
So anyway, I went off and I bought 4 different kinds of rat poison.
Oh, you want to make sure?
No, you didn't.
Gone.
Yes, I did. And I opened up the, you know, those, you get those trap doors in the ceiling where the geezers are. Mm-hmm. And I threw some of this shit north, south, east, and west in the ceiling. And I know that if those rats don't, if they survive this, I'll be really impressed. Then they deserve to.
I hate to bring this up.
No, you know what happens. They don't die in the roof. I know you're going to say that. So
they like bleed internally. And
what happens is this stuff dehydrates them. So they get really, really thirsty.
So they feel like Ben on a Sunday morning.
Correct.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then they need to get out of the roof because it's hot up there. And there's no water, obviously.
Yeah.
And they have to leave the roof and they have to get outside to find water.
Okay.
And that's where they go.
Hey, that's clever.
Yes, because I checked that out. I was worried. I don't want the carcass up there rotting away.
Smell
just don't leave the dog's water bowl outside.
No, definitely. Imagine you find this carcass of a rat the size of a chicken.
Oh, no.
Stab Carl for his water.
Oh. What is that thing you used to say? Rats, rats.
Oh, yeah. There were rats. Rats big as fucking cats. That's an old army song.
Oh.
They used to sing that during the war. About the rats that were in the store.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite story, I can't tell it nearly as well as my dad, but when my first home when I was little was on a farm, and my dad had these huge feed silos for chickens. And they'd open up at the bottom and you'd get the feed out of the bottom, right? But it would store them in this huge silo. And the rats would get in there because it was food. I mean, and they'd live there. And these rats grew to enormous proportions and there were thousands of them.
Oh,
oh my God.
A big swirling mess of rats. And the one day he and his friend and like 3 of the guys who worked on the farm all got sticks and shamboks, and they decided they were going to get these rats out. And they turned over this feed thing, and a sea of rats came.
Oh,
And these Gondwans were, they had teeth bared.
Oh.
They were vicious. As you were hitting them, and some were dying, the others were squealing and trying to bite you.
Oh, my word.
No, it was hectic. I mean, when I heard the story when I was a kid, it put the fear of God into me.
Well, because you're interrupting them in their paradise. Like, what more do they want?
Well, suddenly there's light. Suddenny they're like squinting at the light, and then these people are beating their heads in with sticks.
I don't know why I'm getting itchy all of a sudden. I don't like this.
The Gondwans. Mm. And they were big. Big and vicious. Nasty. Aggressive. Hostile.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Big Gondwan, so you got to look out for them. So I've hopefully killed the problem in my roof. It's probably just one guy is living up there.
He's eaten the rest of them, so therefore he's so big.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever heard what a rat king is?
Mm-mm.
A rat king? Look it up. Just do yourself a favor. Google rat king. What can happen is that a whole lot of rats get their tails...
Oh gosh, that's just ruined Sia's life.
I'm scared to
look. Okay, Sia, explain it. Go on, Ben.
The rats kind of have their tails tangle up.
Yeah.
And then you've got like this, it's like octo rat basically. Uh-huh. It's just
it eats to the outside.
It's like a chandelier of rat.
That's not enough.
Right.
Oh gosh,
I don't want to see that.
A rat king, it's a real thing. In the Middle Ages, they used to warn people about the Rat King. That's what it is. Isn't it gross? Describe the picture that got you freaked out.
What would happen? No, it's just the idea of so many rats, and I don't understand why they're tied up together. And then imagine walking in and stumbling and finding that.
And then they separate and run over your feet.
Squealing all the way. All right.
I hate rats. Hate rats.
Time for the 5 things you need to know. Are data costs killing you? Well, your future is lit with a game changer from Telkom. You can become a Cliff Central listener. You can become a series binger, a playlist connoisseur, the ultimate movie buff. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now cliffcentral.com podcasts without using your data. Doesn't that sound good?
Fantastic.
Yes, everybody's always said, but people can't afford to listen to you. So I always say, well, I don't want people who can't afford to listen to us listening to us. No, but that's not true. You can get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. So save yourself a bit of money. See, we're here to help you this morning. Leanne's got advice on how you can get better sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to help you save money with these Telkom lit bundles.
And get rid of rats.
Right. Make your life better. All right, are you ready for some stories?
Yes.
Do you want stories?
Oh, story time.
Story time. All right, let's start with this. Thousands attended the ECG church despite Shepherd Bushiri being arrested. You know, people, you can't help dumb, hey?
No, so it's still going even though the main dude's not there.
Yeah, So the Enlightened Christian Gathering Church. I always wonder, like, there's a church down the road here that's called the Christian Church of God or something. I'm like, well, what other kind would there be? How do they come up with their names?
Isn't it a bit like pubs? You know, you get like the frog and whistle and blah, blah. It's like churches have their own kind of variants.
You just have to put God and Jesus and something else in there.
The Enlightenment Gathering of God.
Anyway, so they all gathered, led by self-proclaimed prophet Shepherd Bushiri. Congregants gave an overwhelming turnout for Sunday's service, despite the recent arrest of their leader. Church operations resumed after they were suspended for a month following the death of three people in a stampede in Pretoria last year. Bushiri and his wife were arrested by the Hawks on Friday for fraud, money laundering, and contravening the Prevention of Organized Crime Act dating back to 2015. The couple's expected to appear at the Pretoria Commercial Crimes Court on Monday. ECG Church spokesperson Maynard Manyoa says that Sunday's church service went uninterrupted. The church turnout was just as expected, with the maximum capacity being around 25,000 people. People are happy, they are joyous, and they are worshipping. Well, you can't help everybody.
Mm.
I mean, good luck, you know.
Each to their own.
Yeah, go for it. You guys want to keep making this crook rich? You do so. Durko has noted with disappointment Foreign Ambassador's joint memo on corruption. Well, Lindiwe Sisulu and Durko, you've been nothing but disappointing, so I'm not surprised that you want to project that out at everyone else. But the embassies of the United States, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Germany, and Switzerland all sent a memorandum stating concerns about obstacles to foreign investments, such as constant changes in the regulatory framework for mining. And what did Durko do? The Department of International Relations, they said, they wish that those powers had come to them quietly in diplomatic ways to help deal with this problem. The embassies of those various countries wrote to the presidency warning that Ramaphosa's international investment drive would fail if he did not act against the perpetrators of state capture, corruption, and other crimes. Now, how is that a bad thing?
Mm.
I mean, how do you have to be blissfully ignorant? How unattentive must you be to your own goings-on to think that those people who you're asking for money... I mean, if I go to someone for money, guess what? I'm going to have to fill in some forms and promise to do some things. And I'm going to have to show that I can pay it back. And I'm going to have to show that if I'm borrowing their money, I'm a responsible person. Right?
Yeah, they're rules.
Right. So Cyril goes over there and he's trying to trot out the investment trope at Davos. It didn't go so well. Surprise, surprise. Because back home, the Bosasa inquiry, well, we're calling it the Bosasa inquiry, the state capture inquiry, and the whole Bosasa mess has come to light. So Cyril is embarrassed. These countries then say, listen, we're here as friends. We want to help. If you want, because you're dumb and you've got it wrong so far, let me help you. Dummies. Here's how you get international investment. You stop messing with the mining charter. You sort out the state capture thing by putting people in jail so we can see you mean what you say. If you do those things, guess what? Ta-da! Get some investment. Now they're all cross like a scolded child. Their pride has been wounded because it's not fair. The big adults in the room won't let us play and have all the toys. And chief among these complaining children is Lindiwe Sisulu, the minister in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, whose hair gets more attention than the work that she's supposed to be doing as the minister for international relations. So maybe, I'm just thinking maybe she's a struggle brat who's parents did a lot of stuff during the struggle, and she's just benefited from that by being their heir apparent. And maybe it's time for someone who's actually got qualifications to take that place. Just saying. You know, even if we got rid of all the state capture morons, and there are still a lot of those in cabinet, but even if we got rid of all the people who are implicated in state capture, there would still be incompetent people and people of mediocre ability like Lindiwe Sisulu hanging around. Can you believe at one stage she was a potential candidate for president or deputy president?
How low
the hanging fruit must be for us to just pick it from the tree. Anyway, there's other stuff going on too, so let's not get upset about this. And by the way, international relations is all about these kinds of letters. Why don't you find out who leaked it? Because there's someone in your department who knows that you're incompetent and wants the rest of us to see it. God bless them. A total shutdown of universities in KwaZulu-Natal is expected on Monday. Why? Anyone want to guess?
Don't know.
It could be a number of things.
Okay, let me tell you, rather than we waste time guessing here. Among the number of issues they've raised, SRC said the National Student Financial Aid Scheme funding is one of the major issues. According to the posters that have been circulating on social media, students are calling for an indefinite shutdown until all students are cleared for registration, until students are placed in safe and conducive residences, and NSFAS allowances are unblocked and paid in full. So basically, give us stuff for free. We want to have whichever hostel room we want, and we want you to look after us like the children we are. And by the way, we also don't want anyone to be kept back from just coming to university. Doesn't matter what their marks are. Everyone should be allowed in. It's a free-for-all.
It's a new thing.
So let's imagine that university actually meant something. Let's imagine that getting university degrees was hard, and that once you got them, you would be able to operate on someone, for example, in a theater, or that you'd be able to add a balance sheet up and figure out whether or not Bosasa has or has not ripped you off. Let's imagine these things were important instead of just the idea of having a degree to get a job because you're so bloody useless that no one will employ you otherwise. Oh, hang on. That's not going to happen. So here's what's going to happen to universities. Short to medium term projection. Universities in this country are going to become worthless institutions that anyone's allowed into and that you don't have to pay for. And the degrees of these universities will be worthless pieces of paper that will not get you any kind of work. And anyone who can afford it, which is the tiniest number of people in this country, will send their children to universities overseas where those degrees still mean something.
Yeah, because companies are going to change, you know, their requirements.
Because you're not going to hire someone from a South African university who can't read and write. So guess what? It's done. It's finished. If you want to send your kids to a South African university, I've got bad news for you. Your kids are not going to get work. Full stop. Thank you. Let's move on. Next story. It's good news this morning. It's a Monday, huh? Are you excited?
Full stop. Thank you.
Are you excited? One more thing. Apparently, Pravin Gordhan and Julius Malema, you know they're still at each other's throats. And I can't help thinking that this is because Pravin has got some information on where Julius gets all his money, and that this makes Julius very uncomfortable. So the EFF leader and Pravin will face off in the Equality Court on Monday following Malema's scathing attack on the minister. This comes after Malema addressed a crowd of EFF supporters outside the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture last year. In that address, he referred to Gordhan as a dog of white monopoly capital and further requested fighters to be ready for war against the public enterprises minister. So what did Pravin do? Pravin said, excuse me, I'll take you to the Equality Court. So that's where they're going, and it's going to happen this week. Who cares who wins this, actually? I just think it's funny that that these two have turned on each other. And it will be entertaining. So let's watch it like the spectators that we are. And finally, Trump says sending the military to Venezuela is an option. But then he said this about a lot of things. I don't think he's actually going to send the military to Venezuela. I don't think that the U.S. are particularly interested in any serious way about what's going on over there. Although, ultimately, all the displaced people from Venezuela are a problem for the entire North and South America. So I think in the end, the chickens will come home to roost. But of course, Trump's going to say it's an option. He wants everybody to know that he can rattle his saber as well as the best of them. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep an eye on that too and see what happens. But I did see a video from Nicolas Maduro, which is hilarious. I might play it for you, but it's all in Spanish and it's going to need translation. But it's basically him saying, look, I'm being prevailed upon by the nasty Americans, as if the Americans have done anything in Venezuela. I haven't sent a single solitary soldier with a 9mm into Venezuela, but it's all the mean Americans. They're the ones that sent 2.3 million Venezuelans scurrying out of the country like rats. Can't possibly be me and my dumb socialism. Oh no. Let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the sport. The Bitcoin Ethereum situation is that Bitcoin's $3,453 and Ethereum is $108. Ben, what have you got for us?
Proteas wrap it up against Pakistan in the T20 series. Dustin Johnson wins in the Saudi International, and England is still very cuck at cricket. Pretty good weekend of sport all around. There obviously was the big superhero Sunday.
Yes, how did
which
that go?
Was the Super Rugby teams going up against each other with Marvel-inspired themes and mascots and stuff. Well, it was good. It was a full house. Everyone crammed into that Cape Town stadium. Hooray. So let's look at it in this respect. Some people are saying, oh, it's such bullshit. You got to have like make-believe action figures now to make people go to rugby. But yes, let's not forget, sport is always entertainment. People are always moaning the fact that no one goes to watch these games. Now we've got a full house and people are still moaning because now they're wearing superhero jerseys. That's entertainment, bitches. You've got to really understand what gets people off their couch in life. You've got to have an incentive. You've got to have something. Now, for 150 ront, you could watch two of those games yesterday. That sounds pretty good, right? What would you really rather have, sports administrators who are mostly inept? Would you want a full stadium where you're going to make, I don't know, 200,000? I know that's not the right figure. Or do you want a half-empty stadium and you're going to make 100,000?
Well, isn't it obvious?
You've got to get people in the stadium.
Okay? Bums on seats.
Once you get bums on seats, work out the pricing. That's one of the great aspects from yesterday's game, okay? I know it's an exhibition match and I know it's Cape Town Stadium, so it's a one-off because now they have to go back to sweaty old Newlands, which is just stupid. But work it out. The pricing was right, the attraction was good, and people actually wanted to go watch rugby. How about that? South Africans still want to watch rugby. Isn't that just an incredible thing to behold on this Monday morning? So, SARU and all the other unions, the ball is now in your court. And if it means that the guys have got to be wearing Thor jerseys, then so what? So what? The game of rugby is still happening. It's not like they were hitting conversions over with Thor's hammer. The game is still the same. I mean, it wasn't like the scrum was then Spider-Man putting a web over eight people. It's still rugby. You know, just get over yourselves. So that was a good thing. The Thormers beat Captain America Bulls. And the Spider Lions beat the Black Panther Wakanda Sharks. You know, I don't even care. If that becomes their full-time name, I don't care. As long as the stadium is full and people are actually watching the sports again. I should like it. The Black Panther Wakanda Sharks. That'll really roll up the tongue.
Yeah, why not?
Did you mention Spider in one of them?
Yeah, the Lions were Spider-Man inspired. They're Spider-Man jerseys. Yeah. In other rugby, the Blitzbox, well, they're going through that sort of lull right now. They finished fifth, the Australian sevens, but they did beat the Aussies in the fourth, whatever playoff. They lost to England earlier in the cup. So that was rugby, and then, of course, Six Nations as well. England beat Ireland. So Eddie, I'm as smug as it gets Jones, will be rubbing that in their face forever, basically. And no doubt England are, again, full favourites to win the World Cup, get knighted by the Queen, and have cereal boxes named after them. Oh. That's what happens in England sport. You do well once, then you're forever fantastic. Speaking of other English sports, well, they're crap at cricket. They just simply are. There's all kinds of excuses doing the rounds right now, but they just took a second dicking in a row to the West Indies. All they could get was 187 in the first innings. The Windies trotted out to 306, and then 132, they bowled the English out after that. Needing just no runs, really. They got 17 without loss, and they won by a tremendous 10 wickets.
Okay.
Player of the match, Kemar Roach, again, was fantastic with the ball. And now the various excuses that keep coming out, like, well, T20 cricket is ruining the test game. Bollocks. Just because these English batsmen have no composure, no integrity at the crease, does not mean that other formats of the game were leaking into their batting. That's just ridiculous. That's like being asked to go to a black tie event to go, oh, well, I've been wearing board shorts all summer, so I couldn't possibly... Shut up. Just apply yourself to the situation in front of you, and that is how sport and adult living works, essentially. I'm so tired of these stupid bloody excuses. And it's discrediting a pretty good all-round performance by the West Indies. Let's not lose sight of that. So the coach can really just have a look at them and say, look, guys, apply yourselves. You're adults. This is all you get paid to do. It's not like you've got to all be architects on Monday or you've got a board meeting to get to. You play cricket. You watch a ball come towards you and you hit it with a bat. It's all you do. It's all you have to do in life. So don't tell me it's because of T20 cricket or because of, I don't know, tan girls in Essex. Stop making excuses. Be a better batsman. But the cricket of all concern yesterday was SA versus Pakistan at the Wanderers, the best limited overs ground in the entire world. Fight me all you want. That place is incredible. It's got the best atmosphere. It's just a stunning place to be. All and right. Yesterday, South Africa got a pretty respectable 188 for 3. Rusty van der Dissel was pretty solid in the beginning. And then David Miller came out and he, well, defied his critics who liked to basically say he's crap. And he scored 65 of 29 balls, including, I think, 25 of the last over.
Hmm.
It was amazing. It was simply incredible. I got to say, it was about 60-40 split yesterday between SA fans and Pakistan fans. The only difference is Pakistan fans were about 17 times louder. So when there was a four that one side was going up, when there's a wicket, another side was going up, the atmosphere was incredible. South Africa came out to bowl, and they threw a whole bunch of pies for about half an hour. Pakistan were rollicking along well ahead of the rate. But then, how about this for the debutant? Sipamla, he bowled four overs for just 23 runs, while everyone else was getting absolutely lambasted left, right, and center. He conceded just the one boundary, and if it wasn't for him, the game would have been over long, long before the end, because Hendricks and Morris took tap early. Dalla came in and literally was just a baker's dozen time and time again. But Sipamla kept it together, and then Morris, Hendricks, and Petla Choir with wickets at the end. So they won that, and Pakistan are the best T20 team in the whole world, basically. So again, this isn't a hollow victory. Just like in the ODI series, that was a good win to have. I know we're at home, the conditions favour us, but this is good cricket, and that's 2-0. The third and final T20 is going to be played at Wednesday at Centurion, so if you're looking for a midweek puzza, then get on through, because it's always a great place to go. And T20 cricket, again, maybe I'm softening my old age, but I don't care if rugby players are wearing superhero costumes and T20 cricket bringing the crowds in. The crowd was huge yesterday, the atmosphere was incredible, and people were happy. Looking at South Africans looking happy, it's a wonderful thing. Makes their lives so much better.
Yeah, good.
So good. People just cheering and having a great time with their families and with their friends. It is the cohesive nature that this world needs. It's sport, and it's here, and I'm always telling you about it. In the English Premier League over the weekend, well, Man City were far too strong for Arsenal, obviously. Aguero scored a hat-trick as they won 3-1. Man United, they also won. They beat Leicester. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's still in charge, still doing well. Chelsea, after getting thundered by Bournemouth, I think it was midweek, 4-0, they came back and beat Huddersfield Town 5-0. Huddersfield, of course, rooted to the bottom of the log, so that's very embarrassing. Spurs beat Newcastle 1-0. And then tonight, we'll see... West Ham versus Liverpool. Liverpool had the lead cut slightly by Man City over the weekend, but they'll be playing against West Ham tonight, so a chance to extend the lead once more. It was a huge weekend of golf. It really, really was. On a human rights level, they were playing in Saudi Arabia, which is causing quite a bit of a turn. But the even bigger controversy was that Sergio Garcia is back to acting like a petulant little shit. He won the Masters, he got married, had a child, and everyone was like all so nice to him. The guy's a sack of shit, though. Leopard doesn't change his spots. The Spaniard doesn't change his sand behavior. He was just like smashing the sand with a sandwich, and then he was dragging his feet on the green like an absolute child because he was so upset with how he was playing. He was damaging the greens on purpose dragging his feet. So he was disqualified. And because he's Sergio Garcia, he'll probably escape a ban or anything like that. But if this was a sort of, I don't know, a lowly Asian guy having a bit of a fit, this guy will get banned for like 6 months. Sergio probably won't because, you know, he's been on the Ryder Cup team for so long, blah, blah, blah.
He's behaving like he shouldn't be behaving.
The guy's a prick. He should really know better. I think you should get double the ban if you're someone of his stature and act like this, because he should really know better. He's got to be an example. He's the guy that's going there and he's getting big appearance money. He's an ambassador for the tour, all that kind of crap. You act like this, just piss off. You're a horrible example for the game. And you've had amazing form like this. This is a guy that once spat into a golf hole. He actually just spat into it. I think it's 2007 at a World Golf Championship. This is a guy who's made chicken comments about Tiger, which was obviously a little unsavory in itself. He's broken clubs. He's thrown a shoe. He's thrown clubs into water. I mean, Anthea's face right now, she is devastated to think that a professional can act like this.
I'm sorry,
Anthea. She's just arrived.
It is terrible.
So, Sergio Garcia, you're pissing everyone off. A waste of time. Anyway, Dustin Johnson, he shot 68, 61, 65, 67. And I think that's his 11th international win in like 2 years. The guy's incredible. Shut After he had that big cocaine and wife-swapping binge, he kind of got right, and here he is. World best player, I think. Well, huh. I think Justin Rose still is, but I think he missed the cut, so we could see a shake-up there today in the rankings. Li Haotong, he came second. And then my mate Justin Harding, look at that, making bank again. He had 63 on Sunday. 2 weekends in a row now, he's made 63 on a Sunday. He finished 11th, and with that, Gareth, finishing 11th, he made about 700,000 rand.
Not bad. Not a bad payday.
Yeah, Louis Diago won the PGA champs here in SA and won a whole lot less. And then in America, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, Ricky Fowler held on despite a dodgy 74 in the final round to win by 2 shots over South African Brandon Grace. And he has fluffed this tournament twice before, and he almost fluffed it again because he chipped a ball into water, dropped the ball, and after looking at the green, carrying back, the ball by itself rolled into the water again, which incurred a further penalty. He made triple bogey, but he held his nerve, and there it is. He wins the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And good luck to all those new parents in 9 months' time, after no doubt a fantastic event.
All right.
I think that's it. Patriots right. won that, Super Bowl thing. And, England still crap at cricket. That's pretty much it.
Thank you, Ben. It's time for Anthea. Here she is.
She works hard for my money. Anthea, she works hard for your money.
Well.
Anthea, she works hard for her money. So we better treat her right.
Very exciting news today. Before we even let Anthea loose on you with all of the info about the money shot and the week in South Africa's finances, we'll get to the winner of our Easy Equities and Cliff Central competition. Is he on the line, or you want to talk to him just now? Okay, I'll answer just now, Sia, only because you asked so nicely. Anthea, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
Are you having a good Monday?
No, because I woke up without electricity this morning. Last week, I didn't have any hot water.
What do you mean? Eskom aren't good at their job?
No, you're lying.
They're such a brilliant company that's so full of success.
Oh, you're right. What was I thinking? I mean, how could I expect that of them?
All right, well, at least you have water.
Today I had water, yes.
Because apparently, even though the drought is over and long forgotten, agri-business reports have shown that the farming sector is not out of the woods yet.
Oh, yes. We were watching this drought because it impacted on inflation and meat prices were up spectacularly. And so agribusiness said last week that there are a couple of things. Actually, the farmers just have not planted enough maize, so that's one issue. And then also it takes about 4 to 5 years for farmers to rebuild their cattle stocks.
Sure.
And on top of all of that, we do have foot in mouth, which means that normally we export 40% of meat can't be exported anymore. So yes, farmers really are struggling.
Sorry about that.
That wasn't a reference to me, right?
No.
Okay.
Do you even think along. That? Okay. Well, that's terrible.
Do you know what I'm really surprised at now that I'm thinking about this agribusiness is that no one's asked me about cannabis stocks yet. Not that I'm advocating it, but it does seem that cannabis stocks have taken over from Bitcoin last year.
Yeah, they did. They became the prize possession for anyone with extra money.
There were more cannabis-related stocks listed last year than ever before, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So on the global stock exchanges, and obviously it's about products, and there were conferences and all sorts of things. And some of those shares actually spiked significantly. So
okay. Yeah. Well, maybe it was a good thing to get into, but you don't know if you want to get in now.
No, it's not my thing. I don't like to follow trends in that sense of the word. So I think some people must have made some money last year and everyone's thinking it's a new thing. I don't think it's that new.
Okay.
You know, cannabis has been used for medical purposes for ages. And I know the delegalization, is that a word?
The deregulation.
Deregulation, thank you. Or legalization, right?
Yeah.
makes it all very exciting, and everyone thinks that this is going to be a new industry, but I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure it's going to last.
I think it'll be a small-scale thing for starters, and then the big companies, the big tobacco companies, will probably get involved, and that's when the prices will start to climb.
Yes, exactly.
They'll control supply and demand, as they always do.
There you go.
And then it starts getting exciting. But let's talk about our own supply and demand. Leadership is in very, very high demand in this country and very low supply. It seems that anyone connected somewhere in that wilderness between politics and business, anyone who has connections on both sides is usually an unscrupulous character. There are a few who've managed to keep their reputations clean. And one of those people is Maria Ramos, who, despite the fact that there are probably a lot of people who don't like her, has really done a good job everywhere she's been, at least a reasonable job in some places. She's very connected to former Finance Minister Trevor Manuel. She's had experience in the private sector and in government. She's just resigned as ABSA CEO. What does this mean for ABSA?
So I'm afraid she's not as popular as maybe she should be or you'd like her to be. The share was up 6% on the day she resigned.
Now, that's always interesting because usually if someone leaves a company, the share goes down.
Yeah, if they've done a good job, the share goes down.
Oof.
But Maria, she's not a banker. And I think when you're talking about banks, you really want a banker at the helm. You want somebody who understands the complicated and the intricate policies and the products and that sort of thing. So I think she had a tough time of it. You know, she did say she was going to resign ages ago, like 2 years ago already. And then the bank said to her, no, can you manage the separation from Barclays? Which she did. And I think she feels she's done a decent enough job. She certainly got Barclays to pay up for that. Last year, by the way, her package was 37 million rand. So I think she's good to retire.
That's a lot of money. Did she make any really big improvements to ABSA and their way of doing things? I mean, we know about the big Barclays split, which I think cost ABSA a lot of money.
It certainly cost Barclays a lot of money. You know, the combination cost ABSA and then the split Barclays paid for. But no, that's the thing. In fact, they've lost market share. And it's just, it hasn't grown into this wonderful business that she wanted it to grow into. So it's been a bit, it's been tough for her. They've appointed René van Wyk as the interim chief executive, effective from March. But rumors started, or people are talking, that maybe Peter McLary, remember Peter
McLary? Yeah,
ex Tiger Brands, ex SABC, I believe. Eh?
Well, there only are so many, as I said earlier, so many people who could take on a leadership role. So it's always the same people get shuffled.
Yeah, I'm not sure that analysts and investors would be that excited about him taking over either. Because he left Tiger Brands under a bit of a cloud. He is currently the deputy CEO of the Africa business. So, but he's a name that everyone knows, right? And he joined a while ago. So maybe
Don't get me wrong. I like Peter McLary, and he's actually got a good record. But I don't know. Look, ABSA is just it's the slowest of the banks, right?
Yeah.
They're the slowest. They have the least innovation. They have the least interesting stuff going on. They seem to be the most steeped in old ways. And as much as they try, that is the reputation they've got, deserved or undeserved.
Yeah.
And Maria Ramos didn't do much to help that.
Unfortunately not, no. And I think there was just a huge clash of cultures with Barclays, so obviously. If ABSA is this big old ship that doesn't turn very well, then obviously. Right. Barclays is fairly kind of Navy SEAL stuff. And then in the retail sector, again, last week, we had very disappointing trading statement. ShopRite reported after market close that shares opened 14% lower the following day.
That's very bad.
I mean, earnings per share guidance was down. They said it would be down between 26 and 36%. Now, we were expecting a decline, but we were expecting 5 to 10% decline. And ShopRite said the weaker performance was slower turnover due to lower inflation. They had stock availability issues because of one strikes and two IT issues that they had. They're trying to upgrade their systems. Then they had that currency devaluation in Angola. And margins, and this is the worst one, we don't like this, margins were under pressure because, you know, high volume businesses, you need your margins to stay the same, because if they come under pressure and you lose a bit of volume, then what, it's what we call jaws. There's a real squeeze on profits, and that's a problem. Then on the other side of the LSM spectrum, we had LVMH.
That's the luxury goods people.
Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy, yep.
Yep.
Unexpectedly strong results last week. So it feels like the poor are getting poorer and the rich are bouncing back. You know, they're
well,
not struggling.
Well, Dudumieni got a bag, a Louis Vuitton bag with $300,000 in cash in it, and she probably went and bought another bag. So that's that maybe helped them along.
Ah, could well.
And, you know, if you sell one of those bags, it's like 700,000 of the poor people buying one thing each. So
that would explain it.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
So very good. And then EOH, the IT company, they fell by 14% on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, after Eskom released a SENS late afternoon, so it must have been Tuesday, sorry, saying that there were ties and irregularities with EOH, and they actually named some people. So first of all, the Eskom chief procurement officer and then senior officials in the procurement department were involved in acts of misconduct with EOH.
Surprise.
And this you cannot even make up. EOH's audit and risk committee guy didn't declare his conflict of interest. Subsequently, EOH have come back and said, you know, that's not true. Eskom have said, well, it's not completely right. And the shares bounced a little bit. Yeah, but EOH actually has just been under a cloud of kind of misconduct, if you like, for a while now.
All right. Apparently, there was a Vale mudslide.
Vale.
What was the, where's Vale?
Vale is an iron ore business in the US.
Okay.
Did you not see it on the news
No.
last weekend where people were literally drowning, drowning in mud.
Oh my God.
And the helicopters couldn't drag them out of the mud strongly enough. And it was an absolute disaster. I don't know how many people died.
So is this a mine?
Yes, it's a mine. And they produce iron ore. And in fact, they said that they're taking 40 million tons of iron ore off the market while they kind of refigure everything and trying to work it out. Huge disaster.
God.
And of course, we don't like talking about this, but why we mention it is because iron ore spiked 6%. And of course, we're big iron ore producers, Kumba, Exxaro, Anglo a little bit. So it's a supply-demand story, right? So supply has decreased and demand has fairly much stayed the same, and therefore the product price goes higher. And of course, the shares will jump. I mean, I think our shares didn't jump as much as I thought they would have, but still, you saw a significant jump in Kumba Iron Ore.
Speaking of jumps in shares, Apple jumped suddenly.
Yeah.
5%. How did that happen?
That's right, because they put out results last week. Not huge, slightly better than consensus. So $4.18 versus what we were expecting of $4.17 per share earnings. So not great. But it is the first time the company reported that their holiday quarter sales declined since 2001. And Tim Cook actually admitted that people are holding on to their iPhones much longer than they used to. So it's an interesting one. People just don't have the money, right? It's a bit of an issue.
The price has gone ridiculously high.
That's true. It has gone, yeah.
All right. Well, I've got Waylon Smith on from Easy Equities. He is on Skype to announce the winner of our big competition. Remember, Anthea, just explain what we were looking for here. Someone who was the best day trader or the best trader over a period of this month.
Indeed.
And Waylon, have you got the final results in?
I do. Good morning, team.
Morning. Waylon, very exciting competition. The standard must have been pretty high because there was limited time, and whoever it was who won would have had to show the best results. So you're going to tell us what those results were, and you're going to tell us who it was, but let me give you a drum roll so you can build up the tension here. Are you ready, Waylon?
I'm very ready, yes.
All right, here it is. The winner is
Howard Nkuna.
All right, tell me what did Howard Nkuna do?
So the competition stated that you had to hold more than 12 sort of stocks in your demo portfolio. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he went and he bought 50 different stocks and ETFs and even put in two ETNs there. So he had a massive portfolio. And the returns on that portfolio was just over 20%, 20.49%.
That's phenomenal. Anthea, is that a good result? Are we happy?
That's brilliant, especially over the 2 months where the market was so volatile.
Some of his biggest gainers in his portfolio, Rockcastle, Ascendus Health, Curo, Satrix Finney, Satrix 40, that they did particularly well.
So, Waylon, I'm going to ask Anthea to just give her opinion here quickly. If you bought these 30 or so stocks, I mean, is that quite an unorthodox way to do things, or is it pretty regular, would you?
That is actually almost the perfect portfolio, because utility theory says that anything above 25 generally, you know, it's negligible. So you want to keep it concentrated enough so that you make enough return on each, if on the movements, but not so diversified that you're diversifying away your profits. So he's got it spot on. And actually, quite notably, he chose stocks that last year underperformed significantly. So the property stock, NEPI Rockcastle, declined. Obviously, we had that resilient report from Viceroy last year, and all property stocks were impacted. Mm-hmm. And then Ascendus Healthcare also, huge problems they had last year over indebtedness and people saying that perhaps it's not the right way to go, but seem to have bounced back. So you really got shares that bounced very nicely.
Wow, and that's not a bad return. I mean, 20.18%, very, very nicely done. So what does Howard Nkuna win, Waylon?
So Howard will be winning 5,000 Rand into one of Anthea's four hashtag invest portfolios, uh-huh, which Anthea will obviously manage for him. But Anthea, Howard has also said to me that he has set up a recurring investment of $250 in one of your portfolios. So that's quite lucky as well.
Oh, so he's already invested. Do we know which one he's invested in?
Not 100% sure. I will be meeting with him this week.
All right, very nice. Well, congrats to him, and well done to everybody else who took part in this as well. And Waylon, thanks very much for telling us this morning.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much.
There we go. If you want to find out more about how you can invest, go to cliffcentral.com and you will find hashtag invest on the Money Shot page. You can find out all you need to know there, and maybe you want to become a trader as well. Right, Anthea? It's fun.
It was super fun, yeah. Yeah, Howard did particularly well, actually.
Good for him. It shows you can make returns even in a crappy market.
He did have some losses, eh? But his winners outperformed his losses.
That's all you want.
Exactly. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Thanks, Anthea. Very good. Anthea Gardner, it is just after 7 o'clock. If you've just woken up and you've just started your day, we are here to look after you, cliffcentral.com. Don't you go anywhere. We've got, among other things, all the news that you need to know this morning. Plenty of interesting stuff. Some guests popping by. It's going to be a busy start to the week, and we want you to be a part of it. You know what to do if you want to get hold of us, right? Right, Leanne? What do we do?
Oh, send a smoke signal?
Yeah. Oh, yes, you could do that.
Okay.
It's just a little hard for us to read unless we're on the roof. But you can call us on 0861-555-189. The phones are working and ready to receive your call. If you want to message us, 0797-482-090. Let us know what you're up to this morning. And we've also got Said by Sia, which we didn't get to yet, but we will get to shortly. So stick around for that too. Plenty of exciting stuff on the way for you this morning. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.